Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This is episode 252, and we will be discussing several things tonight. We have an open mic discussion on upcoming politics for 2022. Open mic discussion about political uncertainties for 2022. We will be discussing the Biden administration and the lack of tangible benefits we as black people are receiving from this administration. In addition, The 2022 midterm elections are coming up in November, and the consensus from many foundational Black Americans, FBA, is we are staying at home until the Democratic Party produces tangible legislation specifically for us. Also possible World War III with Russia and how this will affect Black people. This episode is for those 18 years of age and older. And the air date of this show is February 24th, 2022. And we have one caller. I'm going to unmute their mic. And please tell us what's your name and where you're calling from.
This is Shabazz. You know me from Denver, Colorado. We live in this same city.
Yes, sir. Peace, brother. Thank you for calling in, Brother Shabazz. What are your thoughts on these political uncertainties for 2022?
I don't know much about politics. I'm sorry that I didn't keep up, but I don't know what Joe Biden is doing.
He's not doing nothing for us. He's doing something for everybody else, but he's not doing nothing for us. And he lied and told us before when he got elected that we were the backbone of the Democratic Party and that he wouldn't have got elected if it wasn't for us. Specifically for Black women. So if Black women are the backbone of the Democratic Party and the only reason why he got into political office, why isn't Biden doing anything specifically for Black women and Black people as a whole in this country?
Good question. He didn't actually do something, but he actually said something about the murder of the Black man by the police department. He said, I know you're upset. I respect your peaceful protest. And he said, violence and loitering is not the answer. He just gave the speech about it, but he doesn't actually do nothing about it.
Right. It's just lip service. And in fact, he didn't fund the police. He said, no, we're not defunding the police. We're going to keep funding the police. The protest in 2020 was the direct result of the killing of George Floyd in Minnesota. And the call and the movement was to defund the police across the board. And what did Jim Crow Biden do? Instead of defunding the police, he gave them more money. And then we look at our city here in Denver, Mayor Michael Hancock, or as we call him, Michael Hancoon, gave half of the city budget public safety.
Wow.
And we still have deaths in the jail. We still have people getting killed by the police. We still have people getting brutalized by DPD. And there's no recourse.
Right.
So we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to call up. The number is 516-418-5996 and press 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Because y'all have a lot of explaining to do. Because y'all told us in 2020 that anybody but Trump, and that Trump was so bad and that we had to have Jim Crow Biden and Kamala Harris, whose record is horrendous, to say the least, in California in regards to Black people in office. And we were going to be so much better off. And now it's been 2 years of Biden and Kamala Harris, and things have not gotten better, Black family. They've gotten worse. So we're still waiting on you Biden supporters, you Bidenites, all those that voted for Jim Crow Biden, to call up. We know that you've been bamboozled and hoodwinked. We told you on a previous program, Mile High News, that Biden wasn't going to do anything for us. There was nothing tangible that was going to come from this administration. And yet, y'all still kept telling us we need to go out and vote. Vote for Jim Crow Biden and the Democratic Party. For what? They're not doing nothing tangible for us, Black family. And when will enough of this blind neglect, of which they have in full effect, which lumps us in a broad, ambiguous term, such as people of color, minorities, marginalized, disenfranchised, underprivileged, underserved, disadvantaged, underrepresented. When will enough be enough, black family? So we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to call up. You've been given the number, and we would like for you to explain yourselves on why you voted for Jim Crow Biden and what tangible benefits we're going to get from a Biden administration. Biden's been in office for 2 years, and everybody's gotten something tangible from Biden but us. The LGBTQ got legislation specifically for them. In fact, the LGBTQ got reparations. They're actually going to give reparations, your reparations, black family, to the LGBTQ who can prove that they their spouse or would have been spouse because, you know, they weren't legally able to be married until 2014. I believe in the city and county of Denver, they weren't able to be legally married until 2015. They can now qualify for reparations if they can prove that they had a spouse that died before they were able to get married. And they're giving these reparations out. There's already a gentleman that's already receiving $90,000 in reparations, and he received $1,800 a month in reparations. And we touched on this on the Frontline Black News and the Revolutionary Agenda. So make sure y'all check those out on YouTube. It's just ridiculous. The LGBTQ got something. Asians got a hate crime bill.
Right.
But the statistics show that black people are the ones that are most victimized by hate crimes. And recently, the killers of George Floyd, the officers that sat by and let him get killed, have been proven guilty of a hate crime. The killers of Ahmaud Arbery have been proven guilty of a hate crime in federal court. But yet there's no legislation for black Americans specifically, or any black period, but specifically black Americans from this administration. There's still no George Floyd Act. There's still no voting, John Lewis Voting Rights Act. There's still none of that. There's still no reparations for us. Who else got reparations? Native Americans, they got legislation specifically for them. They got half of Oklahoma given to them.
Right.
So we're supposed to be the backbone of the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party hasn't done nothing tangible for us. Sleepy Joe Biden literally told us that you ain't black if you don't vote for him. So y'all Negroes fell for the banana in the tailpipe, went and voted for him, got your booty to the polls, and got nothing tangible for it. What are your thoughts on that, Brother Shabazz?
Well, it just somehow just gives me a flashback. They talk about getting rid of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then when they have Joe Biden in the White House, he doesn't seem aggressive, but neither did Bill Clinton. And black people loved the hell out of Bill Clinton back in the 90s. And you know Bill Clinton is very racist. But most black people didn't know that.
Yeah, because he was playing saxophone and he was getting his Johnson sucks. So they said, oh, we have a problem here. We have nothing to worry about here. He played a saxophone and he's getting sexual pleasure. So we have nothing to worry about here. The economy is doing good. We can get a job one day and quit it and get another job the next day. So we have nothing to worry about. All while under his administration, the 94 crime bill was passed, was locked up millions of black men.
For
crack cocaine. And this is the same president who now wants to give out crack pipes. So that's your tangible black family is crack pipes. He's giving out crack pipes. He's allocated $30 million toward harm reduction because these white kids are getting addicted to these opioids and dying at alarming rates. So instead of locking them up and throwing away the key, like they were locking us up and throwing away the key in the 1990s, in the 80s and 90s, now the answer is to treat them like a patient and give them free crack pipes, meth pipes, and syringes.
Wow. What kind of president do we have these days?
We have a pusher. So if they're giving out free crack pipes, black family, then that means that they're going to be giving out crack next. They're going to be giving out a new batch of crack, a new batch of meth, and a new batch of heroin. And they're saying it's
right
to minimize the overdose and deaths. You know, here in Denver, we've had a whole bunch of people dying from this fentanyl or these blues, as they call them. And that's their answer to white addiction. Is not to lock them up and throw away the key, but to treat them like patients and give them safe injection sites and give them free crack pipes, heroin, syringes, and meth pipes.
Wow.
And they've been doing this in Denver for a number of years, but now the Biden administration wants to do this nationwide, and he is allocating $30 million toward the states, the individual states, to allow for this harm reduction program. And we have another caller. We have a caller out of 720, last 49831. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Sister B.
Hey,
and yep, it's me. I'm on here now. How y'all doing? Happy
doing
Black History Month, even though we live at 365. We
That's
are
right.
Black History.
That's right.
That's right.
So tonight, sis, we're having an open mic discussion on the political uncertainties for 2022. And we're discussing the Biden administration and the lack of tangibles we as black people are receiving from the administration. In addition, the 2020 midterm elections are coming up in November. And the consensus from many foundational black Americans is that we are staying home until the Democratic Party produces tangible legislation specifically for us. Also, World War III with Russia is on the horizon, and how will this affect black people? And this episode is for those that are 18 years of age or older. So me and Brother Sabaz were just discussing the fact that the Biden administration is doing tangible things for all these other groups, but nothing specifically for us. And now they want to give out free crack pipes.
Oh, wowee. I tell you, well, if they're going to give those out, they basically are trying to tell people that's the only way that they're going to be able to understand this idiocracy going on right about now. They're going to have to be on some type of drug. The main thing that I can say that we need to do as melanated people at this point, we already see that they're blatantly showing us that they have the money to give us what they're going to give us, what they're supposed to, what they have already promised to on paper. They have the means of doing it. So it would be like if somebody borrowed money from you and they sitting up there spending money in your face and they got the nerve to tell you they don't have enough money to pay you back.
Right.
My thing is at this point, with that type of a slap in the face, we need to subside from all of what they got going on. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to keep asking a person that owes me for money. They just know, don't fuck with me, and you can't ask me for shit else.
And you better be lucky I don't get taken.
That's what we need to develop as a society, as within our communities. Look, if you're not going to give us tangibles, if you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, let us to ourselves. Let us
right.
to ourselves, and don't ask me for shit. Don't ask
right.
me
right.
for my phone. Don't ask me for my community participation. Don't ask me for my support. Do not ask for my children. If we do go to war, don't you ask for my children.
Period. You're right, sis. And,
that's the only way. That is the only way. And if you look in everyday life, when it comes down to people owing people, the only way that things are really made square between them people, or they just don't deal with each other, is if that person who owes pays. And then there can be that reckoning. There can be that reset. There can be that reconciliation. But
right.
until then, we can't keep on giving them money. Okay, because
no.
get this. We, as the givers, have to set limits because the takers won't, and we see that.
Right.
We have to set those limits. We have to say, until you guys do right by Colin Kaepernick and other black players in the NFL, we aren't watching the NFL. You won't be getting us our ratings, our money as far as the merchandise, any of that. Do you understand? We have to set that bar and make it easier for some of these athletes that actually really do want to do right, or some of these black people with money that have been sent and set on a certain agenda because of the fact that they do have the money and they've received that money from white people. Do you see what I'm saying? That money comes with stipulations and agreements and contracts and everything else, telling them what they can and can't do with this money. And they are afraid that if
yes.
they make the stand that they're going to make, they're going to be missing this money. Well, how are you going to miss the money if we ain't giving it?
Right. Well, they're afraid of another Muhammad Ali.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. If we stop participating and watching the NFL because you love the way the in-service that our players and stuff like that are receiving, the injustice, the disservice that they receive.
Yeah, hold
until
on,
we stop funding the slave ships, we
yeah.
will still have people falling into we haven't broken fully away from it just yet. You know,
right.
we're in captive. We're prisoners of war right now.
Right. We have another caller out of the 416, last 49306. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yo, what's up? It's Kaleem Shabazz. What's up, family? How are everybody doing? I'm calling. I'm feeling that we're going to get together and start to exchange information that's going to be empowering and organize organizations in order for us to fulfill any vision that we can materialize.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry for where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
Oh, Toronto. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying that we as a people, we've been suffering in the diaspora for 400 years, right? So, I mean, there's no reason why that we can still be falling for the same old trick for over 400 years with all the information that's been shared amongst our people and that is available to us to empower us. There must be somebody who thought of an idea to progress us as a people. And I think there's more than just one person. I think there's been a collection of our energies that have been put forth in order to liberate us, that we need
yes.
to gather them and organize them in a way where they can fulfill the mandate.
That's
you're right, but at the same time, what we need to stop doing as our people right now, we need to start moving collectively. Stop looking for a leader, because
yes.
any leader that they actually approve right now is not a leader. There's a difference between a leader and a role model. Okay,
right.
A role model is a model given a role to play.
Yep.
Right.
Literally. a model given a role to play. So we have got to stop looking to each other to do something and then take the first step. And then once we see other people taking those first steps as well, we collectively move in the same direction. Because,
right.
See, that's the only way that we were making the impact that we were in the 50s and the 60s. That was why they felt the need to, you know, dissect and decompose the black family. They had to do that in order for us not to stand together.
Yeah, I mean, the sister is right about that. I think we realized that it's important for us to bring forth two halves to complete a whole. So once we got our whole energies working together for a common purpose, then we could start to be a lot more productive and fruitful in our endeavors. There's no question that we have all the resources available. We just lack the commitment and organization, which would be unity. Unity is organization and commitment. So once we start to
What our problem is that we have so much modern-day slavery, and as long as people will keep playing the game, as soon as we catch on to the rules, they change them. Okay,
yep.
So then that's why that's the way to keep people in a constant state of confusion. And when a person doesn't know that they're a slave, they're just seeing it as, oh, well, it's just different obstacles. They're not seeing that these are systematic booby traps being set right in front of them.
Right.
So we as a people just have to stop playing the game.
Well,
all together. If we are going to do a reset as a people, we have to break away from all European colonialism.
Right. Okay.
I mean,
yes,
we do want to still be politically aware of what's going on, but I mean, it's very good to sit and take notes, but what part does any secretary or note taker really have an impact on?
Right.
They don't. So we need to stop taking these notes and just sitting back and doing this and what have you. If we are really going to reset as a people, we got to break away from all of this shit.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to decolonizing our mind. I think once we realize that the colonial powers did certain things to brain poison us, and we had to brainwash ourselves and clean our minds in order for us to progress. I think what we got to do is we got to stop talking about it and start being about it by actually initiating courses that actually are able to facilitate such processes. So once we start to do as Armalaj Muhammad has done, and
move forward as America doing this, we got to align ourselves with Haiti. France owes Haiti. There are so many countries that are indebted, or that have debts owed to them. We need to unite with them and look, take this all the way where it really needs to go, which is the United Nations. We can't keep on depending on our own demographic here. We can't keep on depending on our own democracy here, because we know that this isn't a democracy. This is an aristocracy masquerading as a democracy. And we know this. So it would be like arguing with a manager when you know you got corporate numbers.
Nations like Haiti, nations like Jamaica, nations like Trinidad, Tobago, they have their own reparations organization called CARICOM.
But let me tell you, as soon as that was on its way to actually getting some justice, the next thing you know that there was man-made natural disasters. And that was them forcing Haiti's hand for help, because Haiti wasn't receiving any help, any American assistance before that. And in fact, we're stopping all the missionary shit going on as far as the child abductions and molestations and rapes and everything that were going on with these missionaries. They were bringing that stuff to a halt. They were literally killing these missionaries. So you see what I'm saying? Once they saw that they couldn't ease their way in like that, they had to of course, play dirty with harps, and then turn around and cause natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not new to this. They're true to this. They flooded out black cities. They've flooded out, bombed out black cities. They've done all of this before domestically here. So we know that they're capable of doing it overseas.
Right. Okay, Scott, we got another
on the
712, last 41632. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi there, this is Sharita. I'm calling from Denver.
Hey, Queen. Thank you for calling in. So we were just having
sister.
A meeting. We were a reparations discussion.
About the pilot trick, right?
Yeah.
You're asking, I'm sorry, JP, let me say, and let me hear you ask me that question again so I can make sure I caught all of it. It wasn't clear.
Okay, so we're having an open mic discussion about the political uncertainties for 2022. So we are discussing the Biden administration, the lack of tangibles we as black people are receiving from this administration. In addition, the 2020 midterms are coming up in November, and the consensus from many foundational black Americans, SBA, is we are staying home until the Democratic Party produces tangible legislation, specifically for us. Also, possible World War III with Russia, how to affect black people.
Gotcha. Wow, so very packed evening. Thanks for having me. I think that my involvement or understanding around those particular topics, what I will say is I definitely believe that the vote is only as good as what you can get for it. I do understand that there's different levels, and we have to be thinking about the way in which, you know, different types of elected officials from DAs, it's not just federal government, to, you know, judges and things like that are elected. And so I'm not saying that it doesn't serve a purpose. I just believe that, you know, the point of the it's this give and get, right? We're supportive of particular elected officials because they share our same views, they share our same ideology, and so we want for them to then be able to speak on our behalf, which is why we put them in these positions. And so when, you know, we speak and they don't listen, not only do they need to be removed, but we need to be questioning what is the purpose and what we're doing if it's never beneficial.
Right.
And I don't think that we're voting for everybody else's interests. I believe that ours should be included in it and that as well. And so as far as the vote is concerned, I definitely don't encourage people not to. I encourage people to research, to educate themselves, to understand what their purpose is. Don't just do it because of historical value. Don't just do it because it's tradition or, you know, something like that, or it's because, you know, our people died for our right to vote, our people died for our liberation, then we haven't recognized that. And I think that's what we have to stay focused on, and whatever tools we can pull out of the box to get us there, voting, protesting, economics, whatever, you know, collective, community collaboration, whatever we can do, I think that we have to use all means necessary.
Right.
Wow, that was well said.
Yes.
Well, I truly agree with the sister. I definitely agree with you, Sister Sharita. But this is one thing. That's not how this democracy was even obtained. So
that's right.
When I think about it, I say, let's do it like the mob. They took, do you understand? They took their respect. And I'm not going to say that we should just be out here acting crazy or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you this much. They knew not to mess with the mob because the mob took. They knew that asking and trying to handle things politically with savages, you're not really going to get your point across the way that and we got to look at the countries that have gotten reparations and this and that and what have you. They also showed a very bad side to them, too. Do you see what I'm saying? Russians ain't no joke. Asian people ain't no joke to them. You see what I'm saying? They know that these people will come and get at them. And that's the thing. When they get stuff, it's because they know that they're not getting punked.
Right.
They're willing to fight.
Right, but the thing that
they're
I think you have
to
the only thing I would point out in that is what I will point out in that is though is as you said something very key, which is all of these folks, the Italians included, you know, Russians and whoever, what you just spoke of though was nationalism. So although they might have been here in America, what they were tied to, the backing and not just the ability to have another military force that can go to war with you. What they have is the ability to have conversations and economic negotiation, overseas export and import. See, the way that other countries are able to force America's hand is totally different because they have things that we need. They're they're working from a national perspective where we're talking about working behind enemy lines, which is just different, right? We're not prepared to go to war. We outgunned, we outmanned, we outmilitaried. So for us to do it in a way that they do is different. See, they were on another land being able to orchestrate their moves and then being able to bring it to somebody. We don't have that opportunity.
You're right. You're right.
But I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I
believe you wholeheartedly.
It was our land first. So one thing we got to always remember is that we – as a people, like this is our, this is still our house. So we just were locked in the basement for so damn long that we don't know how to navigate around our house anymore. And they, of course, have been living upstairs in it. Do you see what I'm saying? So they've added this, they've done this, they've renovated that, that type of stuff. So we don't necessarily know our house, but we got to remember that's our house. So we got to also try and start studying our, like I said, our natural demographic that we had prior.
I like that.
Prior. And so that's what's really important about breaking away from the whole system altogether. Because once you break away from the whole system, if you decide to go back and play the game after you know the rules, do you see what I'm saying? It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But see, right now, every time that we even, like I said, pick up somewhat on the rules of the game, they change them. And it's their game. To, it's because we're playing their game. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not taking a step back and coming up with not even our own version of the game, but the correct rules.
Yep.
Hold on, y'all.
100% agree.
Hold on. I think we got a troll on our midst. I'm not sure, but I'm about to find out. Caller out of 111, last four, 111. What's your name and where you calling from?
Oh, Brother Che, it's Shabaka calling you off the other line, man. I'm just listening to the show as I'm doing this paperwork. Sounding very, very good, sir. Real good.
This is Shabaka.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Kiyaka?
Co-host of the show. He wasn't able to join us tonight, so I'm hosting the show tonight.
Okay, great show. Please carry on.
Bianca, you was on to something, and along with Sarita.
Well, I mean, we just gotta really, like I said, it's really about stepping back, because as long as we are still reactive people, they are always gonna find a booby trap for us. You know, when we are actually sitting back and we're seeing them set up whatever they're setting up, we know exactly, okay, don't walk that way, don't go this way, don't go that way. I see what you're doing. Do you see what I'm saying? And the only way that you can step back and see what someone's doing is through your own eyes. They have us seeing through white people's eyes right now. We have to step back and look at life through our own eyes, our own our own definitions of success, our own definitions of wealth, our own definitions. And see, that's when we end up getting the power back. Because when it came down to post-colonial times, there were many forms of currency.
Mm-hmm.
There were many forms of currency. Do you see what I'm saying? There still are in other countries. But within one country, there were different forms of currency. And now what we deem valuable needs to start becoming our form of currency. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're breaking away from their structure of currency.
Right.
That's the only way that you're really going to bankrupt them.
And the only way we can do that is by forming our own form of currency to match or eclipse what is currently in effect.
We have to base that on what's really most valuable to our people, not about what's valuable and can be sold. What is really going to be most valuable to our people?
So right. You're thinking like natural resources, right? Like food, clothes, shelter type idea.
Yes,
because that's
exactly
the most valuable thing we can get.
Right.
Life sustainability. So if we are able to even reinstill the barter and trade system again within the next 5 years, we can bankrupt them.
Yeah.
I mean, right. If we're going to bankrupt them, I mean, I think Allah Akbar already gave us a really good start with this coronavirus. You know what I mean? Because we realize that it's put the economy on slow. But our people are not true warriors, and we don't really want the fall of Babylon, because we're not working hard enough to really prepare ourselves for the fall of Babylon, because we still have a stake inside the American economy. I mean, I think that's a problem. That's problematic, because we can't be autonomous and move in order to fulfill our mandate, you know what I mean, providing for our people beneficially and autonomously. I mean, that's what the problem really comes down to, is that we're not really focusing on how to do things autonomously, like the example
well,
of our past.
And like I said, that falls into my brother, our people being afraid of being in charge of their own destiny. Do you understand? When you are afraid of being in charge of your own destiny, you will let anyone take care of you.
Right.
And as long as your needs are being met, and as long as you can still qualify for this and this and that, okay, they're giving you a duvet in a prison cell. They're just wanting you to stay
more comfortable. Well, I tell you what, this is Sharita. I wanted to say one thing in regards to I thought that was interesting that you brought up the currency. I have been talking about this. In terms of, if you look at money from a historical perspective, what you're saying is right on.
And he goes, see? That doesn't mean that God likes it. That's why they keep it as a joke. And he says all types of shit. And you go, see? And you go, see? And you go, see? He said, I told you that. And he brings up to me. He said, I told you. He goes, think it's a
brother, I'm going to need for you to speak into the phone a little bit more. I couldn't hear you.
He's having a side conversation. Go ahead, Sarita.
Oh. Okay, sorry about that. No, I was just saying I liked the comment about the currency, and I was just having this conversation the other day and talking to some folks about the way in which, you know, currency is changing, and how when we look at it historically, currency has always sort of marked America's place in the world, as money does across the world. And so as things are changing, if you look at the way that they have drafted money, it was always representation of the place that they had in the world. It was once backed by resources, right? But then that changed because that was not there was no abundance of that, and it doesn't make sense. You can't do anything with resources without people.
You know it's
in, right?
Yep.
So the thing about it was the gold and the silver and all those things, at the end of the day, it still always came down to labor. And you hear people say now, well, the American dollar, you know, is not worth anything anymore because it's only as good as its labor force. And at this point, you have a shift where they're really trying to escape, create the technology and escape all of the basic ways of living, and therefore being able to remove us from the equation, which is where you get the migration of other folks, where their focus on technology and their access to technology and the creation of was something they know they locked us out of. And so when we look at it, it's almost really interesting because the only place that you see them building that you really see exponential growth is within penitentiaries, because
that's right.
where you can hook up to batteries.
That's right.
That's where
that's
you
right.
can charge up. That's where you can extract from the melanin. That's when you can get the free labor. That's
and
when
that
you can
person is
right
property, so they can't object to nothing. And
right.
so, right? Look, you see where I'm going with this, sis, right? So if we, as a people, developed, like I said, within these next couple, it doesn't have to happen tomorrow. It could be within these next couple of years. If we ended up analyzing what was most valuable to our people in our community and everything like that, and we made that a form of currency, I'm telling you, things could happen.
Yes.
I believe that the Asian hate crime bill was specifically passed because of retaliation. I believe that because we were not buying weaves and going to the nail shops and things at the rate that we typically do, that was a way for them to make sure they corrected the economy for those specific people. Like I said, these people are making agreements with these other countries. They're not gonna let them go broke.
Right.
They have a means of sustaining with or without them. Do you see what I'm saying? So when we have a means of sustaining as a people with or without them, and especially with this information age, this information age wave, because it was the industrial age wave right before this, and that's when we were in full effect, because we were the mules to keep their wheels going. Do you see? But now that this is the information age, they've tried to shut us out of it. But at the same time, if we go back to what we know as far as a people, as far as tilling the grounds, making sure that we still have some, life sustainability. We go back to learning how to sew, because I know how to sew. We go back to learning how to sew. We go back to learning, fundamental things in life sustainability. With or without them, we would be okay, and that's
right.
when we could actually start making some demands. Because, see, when the 40 acres and a mule was promised, it was after they saw us slaughter all of their opposing vets. They knew that with or without them, we would be just fine.
We have another caller out of 443, last 45763. I think I know who this is. This is Brother Isaiah out of Baltimore.
Listen, you already know, Black family, on the ones and twos, and it's like this, it's like that. So what's the show about tonight, Black family?
We're having an open mic discussion about political uncertainties for 2022. We are discussing the Bible. The lack of tangibles we as Black people are receiving from this administration. In addition, the 2022 midterm elections are in November, and the consensus from many foundation Americans, SBA, is we are staying at home until the Democratic Party produces tangible legislation specifically for us. Off World War III, with Russia on the horizon, and how will it affect Black people?
You already know, there's a lot of shit going on. I've been watching the news. I've been watching all this shit. I mean, you know, all the politicians of the crooks anyway. So they're not going to give us something that we got to own everything back for ourselves. So I agree with all the sisters on the line. I'm speaking the truth tonight. So I'm just going to let them keep on speaking. Go on, sisters.
Go ahead, Bianca. Finish your thought.
I have finished my thought. Sister Sharita, you got anything to say, love?
No, I love Baltimore. He's like, I'm going to just let them keep on rolling.
Right.
I love it. No, I appreciate that. But no, you know what? I totally agree with all of you all. Like I said, it's right on. You know, when you own it, you control it. You know what I'm saying? And so we definitely got to be thinking about I love that the barter system was brought up. I've been telling people all along, it doesn't even make any sense why we pay for any of these things. I mean, when you think about the way in which you get water and electricity and all these things, it's like if one person has an interest in doing something and they have the smarts and the know-how, and maybe you don't know how to deal with electricity, but I know how to build water lines. Like, why are we paying for things like that? Like, all of these natural anomalies are not anything that we should have ever been charged for. Well,
who allowed it?
Because in this society, we're being groomed to be dependent, you know? That's how modern-day slavery is still going on right now, you know? It's only been a revision. So what we need to do, I feel what we need to do is really look at the original drawing boards when it comes down to these revolts that were here, the successful revolts in this country. We need to look at those type of blueprints and then revise them for this day and age and move forward with that.
I agree.
I mean, we have to look at what's worked for us.
That's right. You know, some people think I'm just kidding when I talk about boycotting, about the Starbucks. Starbucks back in 2018. I don't know how long it's been. Is it about 4 years? And also, I boycott the Chinese restaurant. Most likely, I don't go to the Chinese store if I feel really necessary.
Right.
Well, I'm a proud non-member of Starbucks. I've been that way for a good 37 years now. Okay, so I never really hopped on the wave, and I'm gonna tell you why I never really hopped on that wave. I saw how when all of these new coffee places and stuff started off, with how crazy people were going.
Yeah.
I said they put something in there. They put something in there. And I don't know if it's in the water.
They put
that
all
they
kinds
eat,
of shit in their coffee and make them be in line. So I'd be like, yo, why is it so packed?
That,
like, come on now.
It's all
that
addictive ingredients. Yes. They put addictive ingredients in so much things right now. And it's all for mental programming purposes, you know. They know what they're doing on TV, but they need your body in such a trance state that your body will sit there and watch that and get programmed, you know. And so that's our food that we're naturally supposed to eat gives us energy. We're not about to just be sitting around watching TV and watching these advertisements to even fall into that type of slavery. If we are eating the correct foods and we got energy, we're going to be trying to do something around the house.
Right. I said this time and time again, like, time for us to grow our own food, turn off the TV, because all the advertisers on fast food.
Well, we
got to
keep in mind, we got to turn off the technology, we got to turn off the TV, we got to definitely watch and be very cautious, take very precautionary measures about what we're letting ourselves listen to. Because, see, once you hear something, you can't unhear it. I heard a song 10 years ago, and it just happened to recently play, you know, in a store I was in, and I just started humming along with it because I never forgot the song.
So our minds
hold on to so much. We have to talk to ourselves nicely. We have to really, you know, provide a positive mindset for ourselves. In order for us to do better the way that we're supposed to do better and stay consistent with it enough to get the results that we're supposed to be getting.
Right.
It's all about what we're putting into our bodies as far as food, listening, what we're listening to, what we're watching.
Yeah,
so,
that's all based
on
programming.
That's all about
yeah.
your nutrition. That's your full nutrition. It's not necessarily just food. And that's the reason why they talk about these food groups. I feel some type of way because it's like you guys are talking about basic food. There are more food groups than just food. There is
right.
what you listen to. It is what you absorb as
before,
far as
right.
touch. Because you absorb energy as far as touch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those are all right. means of consumption. Mental consumption, spiritual consumption, emotional consumption. And you can be healthy as a horse physically and malnourished in all three of those areas.
Yep.
That is what is being that's what leaves you weak to be controlled.
That's right.
When I say
right.
that they revised slavery, they really did. They just revised this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if we look, I'm not a big believer in the Bible, but I do know truth is in all of these books. They scattered the shit. Do you understand? So one thing I do keep in mind is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was under King Nebuchadnezzar, he was feeding them foods that would make them go to sleep basically right after they ate them. So then all they had enough energy to do was get up and go to work. Do you see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Shadrach,
oh, yeah.
Meshach, and Abednego weren't eating these foods. Do you see what I'm saying? They refused to eat. They would fast.
Right.
They would find other means of eating, but they were not eating what the king was giving them. And he noticed it because they would be up earlier than everybody. Everybody else didn't have, you know, everybody else got to get woke up. They don't got to get woke up. They're already up. They was probably doing some kinetic yoga, something. Do you see what I'm saying? Their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Was and so they couldn't even be burned when they were in the fire.
Right.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? So if we look at that, I'm not going to call it an allegory, that metaphor, okay? When we look at that metaphor for what it really is it's about what we put in ourselves. We're always going to have people try and corrupt us and poison us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
poisoning
that's true.
Someone was the first means of death, aside from what Cain did to Abel.
Okay. Sarita, did you have anything to add?
No, not on that particular line. I just wanted to say there was something else that you had brought up that was interesting that I wanted to just touch on, which was the Biden, talking about Biden and just the elections and thinking about, from that perspective. And I think, too, one of the things that I'm thinking about is that we talked, I was listening to another one of my podcasts, and she kept playing the quote over and over that Biden had made in terms of, stating that the country is doomed, and not only just because of African Americans, but because of the fact that it'll be, a minority white country by 2040. And I thought that was very interesting. You know, like she said, the Republicans are the ones known for being the overt racists. And so one thing I just hope that people realize is that we are dealing with a lot of propaganda and controlled opposition right now. We're looking at a lot of people who are making the appearance that one is on your side and one isn't, when in actuality, no one is. I think the one thing that I can't stress enough is we didn't vote to have our vote disenfranchised. We did not vote for the right to vote. And at this time in 2022, with us still waiting on the John Lewis Act to get passed, you are dependent upon a nation of people who said Black Lives Matter. And we're still waiting for that act to be passed. So I just want people to continue to live in reality and not the illusion of what they hope America becomes. We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize we have a vision of where we want it to go, but we have to be in reality, and the reality is we're still behind.
You saw that. Yeah, you saw that. You saw how they dragged those sisters through the mud, too. You see what I'm saying? Now they're under investigation. the Black Lives Matter sisters. Yeah, they're under investigations for the misuse of finances and all that. So it's basically for that's propaganda for them to see where they're being like, well, see, that's the reason why we don't give them nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? And it was never the overt racist white people that were standing and collecting stuff and eating stuff at these lynchings. It was the everyday white people that are supposedly liberals and all this. They were there. They didn't actually do the lynching, so that's what sits, you know, comfortably with them. I didn't actually do it. I just watched.
Sure, I just watched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
was I gonna do to stop them?
Well, you know what?
Where do you hear that
Collins?
At now, though? Where do you hear them say that same sentiment?
It hasn't changed. It has not changed.
He said, see, so you just be like, I didn't even exist. Like, yeah.
Right.
Well, like Dr.
I'm sorry,
Collins
whoever
says,
keeps talking, I can't hear them really well. Can you turn their mic up, JP, or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. It's really kind of muffled.
That's why they got mad. That's a joke. He said, the only problem is, like, telling the truth. That's exactly why they keep saying, he said, he's going to kill us all. That's exactly why they keep saying, he said, you can just look at the man's face. That's why they keep saying, look at the man's face, and you can obviously see this man's royal. That's why they keep saying, you know, and you go see, and you go like that, and you go see. That's why they get scared, and you go see, and you go see. And they keep saying, he said, I'll help you, Roy. He's about 48 fucking cents. Your mom is like, no. Ask him, you go, and you go see. That's why they keep saying, he to him, he goes, no, I got to get out of here. This isn't me.
Is he talking to us?
I don't know who he's talking to.
Tell me something I couldn't understand.
I'm sorry. He's kind of talking really fast, though.
Okay.
Like, slow down a little bit.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, when Dr. Collins, I was listening to Dr. Collins, I still remember when I was watching the message to the grassroots, is a bullet or the bullet. When Dr. Carter talked to the brother from the Nation of Islam, he said the brother in the Nation of Islam told Dr. Carter he voted for Bill Clinton. And Dr. Carter said, are you serious? He said he's lesser than two evil. And Dr. Carter said, like, there are some good white folks. There is only two white folks, bad white folks and worse white folks.
Yep. The so-called good ones are the shields for the bad ones. So there is no good ones.
There are no good ones. I'm gonna tell you like this: if there were any good ones if any good ones in power at all, I'm gonna tell you like this: they would have found any type of means to help take down this current society. So there are no good ones. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
some of them benefit
undercover.
Less. Some of them benefit less, but that's it. The only way that we are really going to be able to regroup or anything like that is if we start being a part of nationwide conferences. You see, nationwide conferences.
Right.
I mean, global conferences. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say nationwide. Global conferences.
Global.
You know, in fact, tomorrow I'm going to be in a conference for One Africa, and it's returning to the source. And there's going to be a lot of wonderful speakers, And we just
cool.
got to stay informed on what some of these plans that are working in other countries right now that can be implemented here. We got to know some of these game plans. We got to stay very in touch with it. There's going to be professors like Anthony Browder on there. There's going to be Dr. Joyce King. There's going to be all kinds of people on this, as far as the scholars that are going to be speaking.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's just we got to make sure that we're staying aware in those senses, because see, we can't keep on listening to this bullshit out here. And they are always going to filter what we are hearing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
If we're not reaching out to hear different.
Right. Sis, is this going to be on you? Where can we find this?
The way I found it, I had a link sent to me, and it was regarding, it's from Aket Tours Incorporated. You can, look them up, Aket Tours. And that they have a lot of good seminars and conferences that they set up. There's going to be Brother Jabari Osazi on it. He's going to be there. Dr. Solange, she's going to be there. There's going to be a lot of, Dr. Rosalind Jeffrey, she's going to be there too. So, there's going to be all kinds of impactful speakers at this conference, but I know that they have other events coming up, so.
Right.
Making sure that you stay in the loop, global conferences, because, see, they're not going to tell us none of that shit here. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to tell us about it. We actually have to seek that type of knowledge.
Yeah, because spread the word out.
Knowledge ain't free. You got to pay attention.
Yep, that's right. We got to, knowledge is unpowerful right now, so we got to speak it freely. So, So we got to come together as one. Come on. Come on, Black family. Let's do it. Because the time is now. Time for us to come together.
The older people that our elders that are still around, the elders that we do have that are still around, are ready to get down. Our generation this is another reason why they have been, all of these unarmed shootings have been televised. It's been a scare tactic, okay? They are literally trying to scare us as a people because they know that fear and trauma travels for 40 years per family. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. That's true.
Fear does. And trauma does. There's so many things that they're trying to make us afraid of, but our children, this younger generation right up underneath us right now, they were born. They were born in that gap line. You know what I'm saying? So they grew fearless. And they ready to back us on anything that we standing on right now.
Right, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to unmute Colleen. I think you got something to say. Colleen, are you still with us?
I don't believe me, sir.
Got something to add?
Colleen. We're still having a side conversation. We're down to our last 20 minutes. So
how many minutes?
20 minutes.
Closing comments.
So ladies first. Rita or Bianca, whichever one of y'all want to go first.
You can go first, Sister Rita. Well, I just would like to say thank you all. I appreciate it. This was a great conversation, and it's always nice to get different perspectives, but to know we all, headed in the same direction. And so I just want to say thank you all so much. And, I just hope that we can continue to, have the discussions and it's all right to agree to disagree on things. We ain't always going to see eye to eye. But like I said, as long as we are moving in the same for our liberation, I'm ADOS. I heard, FDA, what up? Like we all in the house, right? We can all make this happen. That's the one fundamental to our core is we all Black. So I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all. And until the next time, everybody be well.
Love you too.
Love you,
Queen.
Oh, be safe out there. All right, Sister Bianca.
Well, I'm thankful for having me on. This has been a wonderful show. Reiterate what Sister Sharita just said. It's good to see, even if we are not commonly, you know, like we don't have to be in sync on everything. As long as we have the common harmony, as long as we still have that common harmony, which is the code, staying on code, making sure at this point that we are really moving for us and with us and by us. You know, we have to do that at this point. As far as survival, we are going to have to make sure that we are not scattered at the wind. We're going to have to pull together. We're going to have to be more understanding and forgiving with each other as a people. If we take the exact same anger and rage that we have for each other and we put it toward the actual enemy, we can get some shit done.
That's right.
We got to make sure that we're directing our energy where it needs to be, and that is for our liberation by any means necessary.
Right.
And our self-sufficiency.
Peace, love, and black empowerment, family. And remember, knowledge ain't free. You got to pay attention.
Right.
Indeed.
The Black Cat, which
you
propose a statement.
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, going through Panther Town yesterday, you know, doing this work. You know, our people are very, very blighted in the original area, you know, where the party originated at. But I've been listening to the podcast, and I appreciate you definitely taking over tonight, Brother Che, because, you know, I'm up here doing some overtime. And whatnot. Appreciate Sister Bianca. She's always dropping knowledge. Also, greetings there to the other sister that came in. I didn't quite get her name, but she was dropping knowledge. And Brother Isaiah, he's been with us since day zero. And, of course, you know, shout out there to Brother Colleen, you know, for dropping knowledge and what have you. And I appreciate you all, you know, picking up the slack for me a little bit. And, you know, I'll be back, you know, full saddle, you know, real soon. And then on top of that, yeah, I've learned a lot, you know, just listening to the generations after me, is because this stagnation that we are going through is that you got to thank all these Biden supporters, you know what I'm saying, and these Democrats, you know, that got us totally mentally screwed up. You know what I'm saying? And what it is that we got to form our own political parties. We got to form our own everything, politically, yeah, economically, commercially, educationally, you know what I mean? And just step off from these tricks once and for all. You see, and then, right, of course, you know, they're getting ready to blow the world up from information I'm getting. World War III is on its way. But it's very, very interesting that both sides who are going up against each other, you know, they're getting all their resources from our continent. Now, tell me, what's wrong with that picture besides everything? And as the sister really was saying, you know, flexing our economical muscle on an intellectual basis, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it is a bunch of bullshit, and it's rigged up for them to win and we lose. You know? I mean,
just what I've seen here in California, particularly, these days,
you know, what I mean, folk out here, I mean, you know, twisted, man, you know, but it's designed this way. It's the educational system. We got to get our children about them public indoctrination centers from coast to coast. Worldwide, you know, and just go on and let this be a peon, just sit there and go and steal its own juice. You see what I mean? Because look at all the resources that come from our continent, and we would imagine what would happen to the world's economy if we decided to nationalize or pan-Africanize our own resources. It would be a great game changer. And then Sister Bianca, you know, has put it out there, you know, so eloquently, as she always does, is that it wasn't designed for us to come up. It was not designed for us to flex our economical muscle. You see what I mean? If anything, was designed to do the exact opposite. So this is why we get hate mail. This is why we get banned on social media and all that, just simply goes to prove that we're doing something right. And then keep in mind, you should see over there in the city of San Francisco, the abject poverty that you got going on over there, as they call it, the Barbary Coast. You know, it's ridiculous. And then you got all these tech giants around there. You know what I mean? You got, you know, you got these huge office buildings, quite expensive, and then right across the street from it, you got tent cities. You know what I'm saying? People walking around, heads in the sky, strung out, filthy, nasty. And feeling bad for them, you know what I'm saying? And it's mainly black.
The only thing
men.
One thing I want to say to that is, but you know, if they out there across the street strung out and homeless, I ain't got to worry about you coming in here and being the competition. What you're not going to do is come in here and take my job. What you're not going to do is come in and build a business or a corporation that's going to compete. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I don't care if you out here strung out. I can afford to pay for a program. What I can't afford to do is have you with all of that intellect and all of that know-how actually be sober and clear-minded and go build a corporation, Kobe Bryant, that'll compete with mine, Nike, because then I'm going to knock your airplane out the sky.
Right.
Now, that is resurrection of the mental dead, like that young woman said there. And then keep in mind, folks, is that they got a lot of these loft apartments. So what's happening is they don't even have to travel to their job. They're doing all this shit over the internet, over the computer. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here you got all these high rises that are halfway vacant, but yet though around the perimeter of it, you got all these homeless people. Oh, and by the way, update, Google is buying Treasure Island. New Treasure Island that was used in World War II for the U.S. Navy. Google is buying it. So what is that?
Well, this is the whole thing. I had happened to see a clip from The Simpsons. It was about 2011, and it was talking about Google. It showed Lisa Simpson, and she was looking for her daughter in the future, and Google transporting all these people, like virtually, and see, this, it feeds into the metaverse, it feeds into the hologram that they're about to start pushing on people, and the vaccine, it plays a lot in that
there
too.
I've seen the episode too. That's why sometimes I'll be watching all the episodes.
So it's going to affect your vision. It's going to affect all kind of stuff. And that's why the book, The Matrix, is so valid. It is. And it was literally based on black life. But, of course, they had to whitewash that like they whitewash anything, you know?
Right.
It's like the Terminator.
But if you look at the cartoons, think about the cartoons. Somebody I watched not too long ago brought up the comparisons with things going on and the things they used to talk about in the Boondocks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But think about
you
it. When you're an adult, you look at stuff and you say, this is a cartoon. It's just a source of entertainment. It's funny. You don't even trip off it. And when you were a kid, you didn't realize the messages, right? So what they do is they use the cartoons to share the messages with you as you were kids. Like when you guys talked about indoctrination, programming, propaganda. I get it into you when you're young, because as an adult, you start to try to decipher between what's reality and what's not. So a cartoon ain't going to get to me the same way it's going get to my little six-year-old, though. You don't even know when you're looking at racism,
They
bank on that,
you're
too,
just
watching though. They bank on that, too, though, sis, because what they'll do is they'll put stuff that they're doing actively right now, like in an adult cartoon. Well, look, I'll call it what it is, a cult adult cartoon, because they'll turn around and they got this one on here called on Netflix called The Inside Job, and it's talking about how the CIA is into it with the reptilians and
all kinds of animation.
And they do this with anything that is really going on. Is they turn around and they say, Well, yeah, this is what we're going to do. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be, is there the shock factor there? Or can I make this funny for you so when you actually come across it, it's not going to be as shock factor for you? You've already seen it somewhere, you know, past tense. Because like you said, it's just a cartoon, but it subliminally sits in your mind.
Yes. It's like all the shows and the movies.
And seeing all of these symbols and stuff like that coming into fruition, once you start seeing it actually come into fruition, it's not as scary. However, the thing with that is they have taken so much of, because time travel never stopped. We were doing time travel long before they had any type of technology. We were doing it with energy. And they still do it with energy, but just like anything good that we had, they learned it from us, then they beat it out of us, and they've kept it for themselves.
You're right about that, because every movie and TV shows I've seen,
but then you'll see them still go overseas during the summertime. They go on vacation in South Africa, and then they go and get these African rituals done on them.
Taking out of resources and trying to, you know, trying to keep for themselves, like you said.
Another metaphor out of the Bible. Stealing of the blessing, stealing of the birthright with Jacob and Esau.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? They have literally done it with us now. They have stolen our birthright as far as universal.
Okay, so we got to finish the closing statements. We're down for our last 8 minutes. Brother Isaiah, did you want to give your closing statement?
All righty. Check 1, 2, 1. Mic is on. This is Brother Isaiah. Each one. We got black family. When you come together, that's one. Black love, black unity, black power, all black everything. We need to come together in a crisis like this, because we've been going ups and downs in this times and tribulation times. It's on 22. It's time to come together as one. And I want y'all to know, black family, ain't y'all tired of seeing the same thing? Ain't y'all tired of watching the same thing? Ain't y'all tired learning from the same BS every day? Come on, brother Shabaka, black experience. We got the real deal. We got the real black truth. Call in every Tuesday. Well, this time we're doing Thursday because we had some technical difficulties. So we back on live on right now. So call in every Tuesday. Well, sometimes we call on Sunday with special time. So I love y'all. Black power, black love, black power, all black everything. Peace.
Love you too, Black Power.
Power, brother. Statements. Brother Boss.
Come again?
What is your closing statement?
Closing statement is when you get the knowledge, just take it to your heart. You know, it seems like the, which they call, you know, America, somebody might call Babylon, is falling. And we just got to have our own. And it inspires me to just boycott a little further, because the racism is out in the open. You know, what the Asian did to the African in China, and that's when I stopped. Me personally, I stopped eating Chinese food altogether. I stopped going to a Chinese restaurant altogether, because I know somebody said black American and African are not the same. I don't believe in that stuff. If we're black, we're still in the same boat. So that's why if they do that to people in Africa, you know, what they did to the black woman at their own store, I'm like, well, I'm not going to eat Chinese food. I'll be eating other type of food except going to the Chinese restaurant to put money in their pocket. I mean, if they look at us as niggers or monkeys, what sense to make them rich and send their children to college? That's the way I look at it. Besides, we're supposed to have our own company.
Right.
Right. Okay, thank you, Brother Shabazz, for joining us
tonight.
No problem, brother.
Give us a close.
Make sure you call him every Tuesday.
Brother Shabazz, the other Brother Shabazz, what's your closing statement?
Yeah, well, I'm saying we got good things happening. It's good that we can all get together as a people. I think the more that we get into the rhythm of exchanging energy, we will do well. But I think we got to set some goals. I think we are basically talking in circles, right? I mean, P60 is a circle, so, I mean, that's good. But, I mean, as we start to have a circle, we got to have a direction. So we need to really start to set goals and try to find ways to raise funds so we can start to see ourselves as really viable choices for people to support in order to get things done in the community. Realize that our brother Paris is running for office. We all got to try to push that as much as we can as he bring in people in decision-making places to make key decisions in order to affect our people, because if we don't, we will certainly be subjected to the same kind of oppressive rule that we've had consistently throughout our tenure in America. I mean, basically, we realize that vision plus commitment equals success, right? So I think as we have a proper vision, we can become successful once we see ourselves as connected, unified, and committed to goals that are set. Like, we got to set goals and say, I want to raise X amount of dollars for Paris's campaign, you know what I'm saying? And then we come together as a group and really try to build, you know what I mean, the energy around the campaign in order to get somebody elected, so we can just say that we're not just talkers, but we're doers as well.
Right. Right on, Brother Shabazz. Appreciate you.
Right as on, always. Sure.
I will close this off. Thank y'all for tuning in to Rockin' Black Experience Enhanced tonight. Appreciate everybody that
I'm glad I came.
Black Power.
Black power.
We are all that we got, black family. Ain't nobody going to come save us but us. The quicker that we realize that, I feel the better we will be all. With everything that's been said tonight, we have to do for self. We have to create our own institutions. We have to support those that support our best interests in politics and all nine areas of human activity, honestly. If you don't know what that is entertainment, that is economics, that is labor, politics, war, religion, and education. That is what the code tells us, Nelly Fuller's book. Don't have to get it. And we're on code. Everybody that's on this call is on code. But the vast majority of our people are off code. So it's up to us to get them on code. And as far as this World War III, Black family, this has nothing to do with us. This is white on white crime. This is white on white violence. Let them fight their own war. We fought enough of this country's wars. If not, we fought every last one of this country's wars. So we don't have to fight this one as well, black family. We already at war. We need to wage back at the war the war against melanin. And we're down to our last 90 seconds, so I'm going to close with, please make sure that you like and subscribe to Frontline Black News on YouTube. Make sure you check out the Revolutionary Agenda. Lady Che wasn't able to join us tonight, but she's a regular on Shabazz's Black Experience Enhanced, and she's the reason why we were able to have this show tonight. Also, make sure you check out Shabazz's Black Experience Enhanced. Like and subscribe to the Facebook page. Like and subscribe to the group. There's also a group on Facebook called Shabazz's Black Experience Enhanced. Make sure you check that out as well. And support all independent black media, black family. Only us is going to get our perspective, our viewpoints across. So Thank y'all all for calling in tonight. We're going to go out with, what are we going to go out with tonight? Let's go out with Black. Peace, love, light, and Black empowerment. We'll be back.
Peace, Black empowerment.
Time. Make sure you tune into that. Peace.
Peace. Stay Black.
Peace. As always.
That sound about right. You ain't never said a lie. You ain't told a lie. Yeah. Everybody wanna be an athlete. Everybody wanna rap on beat. Everybody wanna eat watermelon and fried chicken. Sorry, it's the Black King. Everybody wanna hear after me. Watch your back, cause they after me. Got different women up in my living room trying to measure my dick. Maybe it's the Black King. Don't subtweet at me. We was picking freestyles in the backseat. Did your classrooms like a gladly. We were buying sell drugs in the alley. Yeah, finally got a pot of compassion. Working overtime, you can tell if you listen. I don't wanna find no divine division. I be getting high, nigga, it's the Black King. Black shots till she knock me. I be on new shit, so they copy. Did it by tree. Go ahead, then watch me, nigga. Don't watch TV.
Don't watch TV.
You can get it all on CD. Vinyl is time aside, though. Every time you at my recital, I will serve you like appetizers. You should know, nigga, I'm your idol. I'm your idol now.
Pop a dog pound and jigger. Everybody wanna be Black.
Don't nobody wanna be a nigga.
Feel like Malcolm X.
Thinking outside my window.
Everybody wanna be Black, but
don't nobody wanna be a nigga. Everybody tryna get dreads and shit. But they ain't African. All the light girls getting the tan so they can darken their skin. I'm sorry, it's the Black thing. I don't give a fuck, yeah, I said the shit. Rhetoric. Everybody wanna design something for Louis Vuitton. Maybe it's the Black thing. Blacked out in the backseat of the Black Jeep, listening to Black by me. You can catch me a taste of soul, eating on gumbo with the Black IP. Yeah, black on, Black nigga, I'm back on track, my shit Black owned. If you ain't a nigga, then you can't say nigga, it's the Black thing. Yeah, right lead, do the right thing. Don't step on my Nike, just got these. Go roll for the neck piece, nigga, you up in my white tee. Or you wanna be just like me, huh? Do the police wanna lock me up? Chevy on creep, Black F. Both ones. What it's gon' be, you can ask about me.
Grew up in the West.
Pop a dog pound and jigger.
Everybody wanna be Black.
Don't nobody wanna be a nigga.
Feel like Malcolm X.
Thinking outside my window.
Everybody wanna be Black, but
don't nobody wanna be a nigga.